is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report. I welcome Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We begin at the border, the Texas border I'm most familiar with because of reporting over these last days, but the whole border from Texas to California. The question mark is a change in policy by the Biden administration, so-called Title 42, really having to do with the COVID pandemic. And now the unclear presence of people wishing to get into the U.S., a deployment of Border Patrol, Texas National Guard, U.S. Army units along the border, in between looks to be concertina wire or barbed wire. There are fences, but the fence is not closed. And there are people, mothers, children, and a lot of young men, coming through in some fashion and arriving in cities along the border. The one I'm familiar with is El Paso. So what has changed and what is now the present policy of the United States towards migrants? Because the flow continues. Professor, a very good day to you. Title 42 is over with. What was that that the change now is said to have been in some fashion effective in lowering the number of people coming through each day along the border? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. Well, Title 42 was implemented during COVID-19 pandemic in response to CDC findings about the danger of keeping people in, you know, concentrated positions in camps at the border as a public health risk and a contagion risk. And so basically allowed people, despite pre-existing U.S. Asylum guarantees, to turn people back at the border, at least initially, even when they could have legitimate asylum claims. So the fear was that COVID-19 pandemic ending, certainly per the World Health Organization and others, with putting an end to Title 42, which was finally officially done last week, that this would cause a surge in asylum seekers. However, the laws have been changed and strengthened, going back to something called Title 8. And so the new law that's now in effect, basically on the one hand, the Biden administration sought to increase the number of channels for legal migration, and the facilities were doing so, setting up new migration centers in Guatemala and Colombia and in other places, creating an app for seeking to process asylum applications, CBP-1, from the other side of the border, and even from remote locations, and encouraging through a public diplomacy campaign that to happen. On the other hand, Title 8's specifically implementing new penalties if one crossed the border in an illegal fashion, including, the possibility of saying that even if you have a legitimate asylum claim, if you cross the border illegally, you're presumed to not be eligible or having defaulted on that, and so you can't reapply again for another 5 years. In some cases, creating the possibility of criminal prosecutions depending on the circumstances in which some people cross. So really creating a lot of penalties if you don't do things in the legal way that's now been set up and augmented. And so surprisingly, in eyes of some, but it appears that although a lot of people are still on the way to the border, the disincentives for crossing the border illegally have actually led in the cancellation of Title 42 to at least a relative fall for the moment in the number of attempted border crossers in an irregular fashion. It's still high. It's still higher than it was just before the end of Title 42, but a bit lower than it was at the end of last week, and not quite as bad as some people expected things to be, at least for the moment.
I want to explore what happens, presuming you cross the border in some fashion, either in front of officials or at the many, I'm told there are many crossing points where the wall doesn't exist, where the Border Patrol is irregular or not able to stand guard. And people are coming through. You can see that in reporting I've done from El Paso. Once an immigrant with no documentation, because I'm told that many of the people crossing get rid of their documentation so that It's not easy for Border Patrol to say, we've caught you before, we're sending you back. If we catch you again, then such and such a penalty. All right. You're in the United States, and you've been in some fashion contacted by the authorities, Border Patrol or the Texas National Guard, or an NGO taking care of refugees. What happens to you then? What are your obligations if you don't have ID, you don't have a great deal of money, you've passed through all this process? Do they just say one day, okay, you're free to go and report at such and such a date in El Paso or some other city in the future?
Well, John, in the previous era, especially because the system was so overwhelmed, because detention facilities and others were so over capacity, if you were brought in and you had at least a plausible asylum claim, then yes, oftentimes you were released into the United States with the expectation that you would show up at a future court date in order to present further documentation of that claim and initiate the process. The system was so overwhelmed that in some cases it took months or even years. And so people just the fear was would never actually report, would just stay in the United States. So under the new system, the idea is by enhancing capacity, number one, to have expedited processing, and so that long wait was not there. And then number two, and really this is the core focus, creating enhanced channels for applying outside of the United States. So the one that's being encouraged right now is from centers either in Mexico or remote centers in places like Guatemala or Colombia, applying through the new app CBP One to try to either at the border to get an appointment for a time or at least to get into the system. And so this will probably be partially effective, and certainly under the new system, if you just show up at the border and don't do things in the way that you're supposed to do things, then if you are captured in irregular fashion, then again you are presumed under now Title 8 to have foregone your right to come in and present an asylum claim. And so again, that invalidates your ability to get asylum if you do things in that irregular way.
One example I have, it's an anecdote. It's what you have. These are tens of thousands of people. A Chinese family at the Darien Gap meets and speaks with a journalist. The journalist is friendly to them and wants to find out how they made their passage from the mainland to the Darien Gap, and they've now survived the crossing of the Triple Canopy Jungle, and they're headed to the United States. And weeks go past, and suddenly in the middle of the night, this same journalist gets a phone call on his mobile. It's an authority at the border, whether it's the Border Patrol or the Texas National Guard or DHS, I don't know. The call is in the middle of the night, and the very polite authoritarian figure says, "You are," and gives the name, "Do you know?" And then gives the name of the Chinese father of this family, saying, he says that you will sponsor him in the United States. Will you do that? All right, I'll stop the example there because I don't know the fate of everyone. But that's an anecdote I have. That suggests that what we have here is a policy that has a lot of twists and turns and isn't archival or scrupulous in some fashion. Do I describe something that's going on that went on before and that goes on now? In other words, they're doing the best they can, but clearly it's not routine.
Well, certainly, John, having talked to Border Patrol agents myself, they are overwhelmed. They are certainly doing the best they can. I certainly perceive that there is a high level of frustration, both from the laws and the degree to which they're overwhelmed. But what you also talk about in considering some types of applications, the question of whether the family who's entering, has a sponsor in the United States is one consideration. And so probably for this poor family, the only people who were plausibly, U.S. that they had met along the trip or one of the few that they felt that they had some, at least a vague hope to trust in was this journalist. And so to suggest that the journalist could be a sponsor, which, of course, was I would presume nothing of the intent of that initial interaction, but it shows things like the, you know, some of the conditions like, you know, the question of sponsorship and other things that are part of the process of applying for entry into the United States.
Also, once the migrant is moved through the system, there's no address, to my understanding, that is fixed because they're looking for friends or relatives or people they knew in where they came from, say mainland China. And there's no address for authorities to go seeking such and such a person. I know I'm raising things that don't have answers, but the whole system, now that I've spent days and months and now years reporting on it, the whole system seems, well, you use the word overwhelm. We could use another metaphor, broken. Is that fair, Evan, that there's no care anywhere? The policy is the best they can at the moment.
Well, my understanding is certainly by the Biden administration, there have been attempts to at least patch some of the problems. But as you point out, there are difficulties at multiple levels. And the biggest difficulty originally was just the fact that the number of Border Patrol agents and the facilities, possible to process a large number of asylum claims. Asylum was never intended for, you know, having everyone who shows up at the border asking for it. It was intended for a small number of people with special cases. And historically, the vast number of people were, economic migrants who were, either not brought in or processed on that basis. And so the problem is that once this loophole a couple of years ago began to be discovered, then the question is, well, how do you deal with the number of people who are at least claiming asylum, and then that you have to, under humanitarian principles, give some at least reasonable consideration. And that involves initial processing by Border Patrol agents or other people who have first contact. It then involves, processing of their claims and legitimate considerations with immigration judges. And again, when that system became overwhelmed in part because the asylum laws were not adequate to handle that, the number of people in terms of judges and CBP personnel were never. And so ironically, what the Biden administration has come back to in a certain way is some of the policies of the Trump administration, which was essentially taking certain actions to make things more difficult to discourage people to want to come to the border and process those claims, and also create a greater number of physical barriers and coordinate with our partners in the region, especially Mexico, to deal with that. Now, the details are certainly different, but, what you're seeing is similar. It's moving back to, creating now a new legal framework that doesn't make it so attractive to come over illegally. What you're seeing with the deployment of the additional 1,500, U.S. troops operating still under Title 10 on top of the 2,500 already there to try to at least help CBP in terms of some of the administrative and processing duties so CBP can focus on the actual control of the border. And even, of course, things like the Texas National Guard, who has come under, I believe it's Title 32, with some law enforcement capabilities, and that's something that's very special, the way the National Guard can be incorporated, and and doing things like erecting physical barriers in areas where it's easy to come across. Again, ironically, what you're seeing by the Biden administration is coming back to that combination of coordinating with our Mexican partners, physical barriers and creating disincentives, as well as making some changes in the law that, although it's not a reform of the asylum law per se, but an attempt to make it not quite so lucrative to come over in numbers that the system just can't handle.
I'm speaking to Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. We're talking about the American-Mexican border. Let's go to the Colombia-Panama border.